Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Swarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. God has called his church to take the good news of Jesus into the world. That's our mission as disciples of Christ, and this ministry exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. To learn more about Brave or give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, head to bravepastorjeff.com. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff continues his message, The Making of a Man, and explores the story of Moses and Exodus to see how obedience to God leads to complete transformation and his favor. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
Do you hear the voice of God when you read, and will you apply what he's showing you? I didn't understand this when I first became a believer. I was told I needed to have what was called a quiet time, which meant I needed to study the Bible and read it. And so as I began to do that, just to be perfectly candid with you, there were times where I would read my Bible, and this is me, hindsight, 30 some years later, I would read it and I would be so convicted that I thought I was a bad person. I thought God was mad at me every time I opened the Bible because I wasn't doing what he said I should be doing. So there were times where I'm like, I'm done with the Bible study thing. I feel worse after I study it than before. And I would close it and sit it on my shelf for a week. And then people say, but you need the Bible. Okay, I need the Bible. That feel worse again. What I didn't realize at the time is that the Lord was showing me a new identity, and the way in which I was living was not the way he wanted. And he loved me enough that he was showing me things that needed to change so that I could experience life to the full and enjoy the life I had in Christ. He was showing me that I was forgiven in Christ through the cross, but he was also showing me he wasn't gonna leave me where I was at. Amen? And what we need to understand is we need to hear his voice. The more acquainted with God's word you become, the more acquainted with his voice you'll be. And I believe God can speak in other supernatural ways. I think God can speak through dreams and visions and a subjective voice that's down in your heart, but it will never, ever go against the written and authoritative word of God, ever. So the more acquainted you are with this book, the more you're gonna be able to hear God subjectively. Because this book is primary. Nothing changes in this book. Nothing is added to it. Nothing is taken away. And this is such a big deal. I mean, this is so current. People say, you need to make the Bible relevant. The Bible is completely relevant in every single generation if you just preach it. And here's why I get fired up about it. In the denomination that I grew up in, that I left about 30 years ago, there's a debate now as to whether you should let homosexuals be ordained into the clergy. And it's not an issue of homosexuality. It's an issue of biblical authority. It's an issue of, do you believe the Bible to be true, or do you believe man's opinions about the culture to be true? If you believe the Bible to be true, it's not even a debate. It's not even a debate. It's not even worth having a conference on, right? You just said, here's what God says, and it's done, and it's complete. Let's move on and do what he wants us to do. But it seems like in every great move of God, when people are trusting the Bible and moving, that very movement that gets it started later on is going off the rails. I can say this because I was raised a Methodist. John Wesley would not be a Methodist, and John Wesley would not be Wesleyan, because he's a Bible bigot. He told us there was only one book he believed in. It was the Bible. His followers, as a general whole, don't. And it's hard because I know several people who are Methodists who love Jesus with their whole heart who are having to deal with all this garbage. May it never be. Can we just champion the word of God and hold the word of God high, and where we feel challenged or we don't like what God has to say, just say this: God, you need to change my heart because I'm uncomfortable with what you're saying, but I know you're right and I know I'm wrong, so change me. And when we live like that, God does something great. And what's even harder for me is listening to pastors try to placate and say how the culture's changed and how you can't really trust the Bible anymore. And what I want to say back is Luke 9:26. Jesus said, anyone who is ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of him when I come. Well, what words? All of them. All of them. Genesis 1:1 is the most difficult passage to believe. If you believe that, everything else is easy. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who created it all? God. How did he do it? He's going to tell you in chapter 1 and 2. Well, if he did that, is anything else hard to believe? Is it hard to think he could become incarnate flesh and take a walk on a pond that he created? Is it hard to believe that he could feed 5,000 people with just 5 loaves and 2 fish? Not if you believe that out of nothing he made everything. It's just that we don't believe the word. Or we have pastors say, well, I don't believe that part, but I believe this part. Listen, Jesus said that this was the very word that testified about him, yet you refused to come to him to have life. Everything in this testifies about Jesus. To say that I don't believe some of this is to say I don't believe some of Jesus. It's all true, y'all. When God transforms you, he transforms your ears first. He gets you listening to a voice that's different than any other voice that you're gonna hear. It goes counter to everything that you believed prior to believing. God's still doing a work in my life. God's still speaking to me through his voice. God's still showing me things in his word. I haven't arrived yet. None of us have arrived yet. But that's what he's doing with Moses. And he says that Pharaoh will surely drive him out of here completely. But notice what else. God not only transforms your ears with his voice, but he transforms your eyes with his favor. Notice what he tells Moses. He goes, he's going to drive you out completely. And why is that important? Because God's ultimate plan for salvation is complete salvation. God doesn't want you to be kind of partially in and partially out. He doesn't want you to struggle with the same sin over and over for the rest of your life. What does he want? He wants to take you from who you were and make you complete in Christ all the time. And notice what he says. He says, speak now in the hearing of the people that each man ask from his neighbor and each woman from her neighbor for articles of silver and articles of gold. The Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Furthermore, the man Moses himself was greatly esteemed in the land of Egypt, both in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of his people. Do you see what's going on here? Do you see what he's saying? He's saying this, go to your neighbors and ask them for their gold and silver. Does that take some courage? I don't think that's the applicational point for us today. It's not go to your neighbors and ask them for gold and silver, but that's what he was saying. He's saying, when you leave, you're gonna leave with everything. I've already destroyed the nation. We're gonna plunder everything. When you come with me, I'm giving you everything you need because I'm a God that blesses and I'm a God of favor. That's what I do. And then what else does he say? He tells Moses that he was gonna become favorable in all of Egypt. So Moses is the one bringing the plagues. Moses is the one that has brought God's word to the people, and all of Egypt is suffering. Israel was mad when he got there because he made their work harder. And now what happens? Long-term obedience in the same direction does what? It gives Moses stature in the sight of the Egyptians, and it gives Moses stature in the sight of Israel. Only God can do that. Now, I know a lot of people, when I talk about favor, they're like, you don't talk about favor. That's prosperity gospel. That's wrong. Well, I'm going to talk about it. Because the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. If there's anything good that happens when you don't deserve it, it's God. And what does the Bible make clear? The Bible makes clear that God is good. He says in the Bible, you who are evil, who know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father? He's a good Father. The Bible makes clear this, that there's a problem in the world. The problem's sin. That's the root cause of every evil thing that we see, and you're responsible for it, and you've contributed to it. And if that's the case, and God is holy, righteous, and good, and God's gonna punish all those who are that way, then any good thing that happens is good. We ask questions like this. Why are some children born stillborn? Why are some marriages not working out? Hey, why are some people having a hard time? Why are some people... A better question is this, why aren't all kids born still? Why don't all marriages break up? Why doesn't everybody have to beg? Do you know why? Because God is good. And if there's anything good that happens in your life, what are you called to do? Praise the Lord for every good thing you have. See, we've been trained by the enemy to look at every bad thing in the world and then say this question. If God is so good, then why is it so bad? God's answer is this, it's so bad because of you. But let me tell you something. If you'll focus on what I'm doing, you will see glimpses of my goodness every single place that you look because I'm a good God, amen? And we have to have the right definition of prosperity. Prosperity does not mean like perfect, unrelenting bliss. It doesn't mean that. If you're married, it's a great place to say amen. Or if you have kids, it's a great place to say amen. I mean, sometimes blessings are difficult and painful. Marriage is a total blessing. Having children's a blessing. Your health is a blessing. Their financial prosperity is a blessing. This church is a blessing. It doesn't mean all those things are easy all the time. We have this false idea that prosperity means I can sit back and do nothing and God just gives me everything I want whenever I want. That's not prosperity. Prosperity is God's goodness in the middle of hard things and challenges. And if we look for what's good in the middle of what's not so good, you'll see God's hand all over this world. This is my Father's world. Psalm 24 says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Amen? God is a good God. He's a prospering God. I mean, think about this. Think about just some of these scriptures. You can write them down. I'll read them. Psalm 27:13 said, I would have despaired had I not believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. When am I going to see the goodness of the Lord? Here and now. What about Psalm 84:11? No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, The Making of a Man, exploring the story of Moses in Exodus to see how obedience to God leads to complete transformation and his favor. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is bravepastorjeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Or how about Psalm 23, verse 6? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Favor is his blessing and his goodness. Think about this. We live as aliens and strangers in a hostile world. And in this world, here's the truth. The world lives for its gods. We live for Jesus Christ. The world lives selfish and demanding. We're called to be loving servants. The world lives hostile toward God. We're called to bring him glory. The world focuses on the here and now. We know that our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what prosperity is. Prosperity is, this is temporary. Any prospering that you get in this world, temporary. It's just to show you God's good. It's just to remind you. It's not to hold on to. It's to see so that you can tell other people he's good. I'm here to tell you on the authority of God's word, the God I'm telling you about is good. God loves you with an unconditional love. God is so good. He sent his only begotten son to the earth to put on incarnate flesh for all eternity, who fulfilled the law, who restored glory to his dad and was slaughtered on a cross because of your sin, who rose from the dead and offers life to you because my God is so good. He's good. Amen. God's good all the time, and all the time God is good. I mean, this is what we see. I mean, we see Moses as he's been trained by the voice of God over time, and God's telling him, hey, there's gonna be a 10th plague, and you don't see Moses push back. He's like, if there's a 10th plague, there's a 10th plague. If you say he's gonna drive us out, he's gonna drive us out. I believe you. I'm attuned to your word enough that when you say it, I know it'll come to pass, even though it likely won't come to pass in my timing. God, I trust you. And you see God's favor. God told him, keep walking my way. There's favor that comes. See, we live in a microwave culture that here's what we think. We think favor means one step of obedience and then God's got to unpack the cart of every good thing. Singles, listen to me. Just because you live faithfully for one day as a single doesn't mean God's going to bring you your spouse tomorrow. Married people, just because you hear a sermon that you know you need to change in your marriage doesn't mean your marriage is going to be perfect tomorrow. Just because you hear that God's going to help you prosper financially doesn't mean it's going to necessarily be tomorrow. There's long-term obedience in the same direction over time that when God sees your heart and God sees your heart and God sees your heart, then he says, I can entrust you with this because I got your heart. I got your heart now. If I give or if I take away, I know you're going to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what it means to be prosperous. Prosperous is when God can take things or give things and it doesn't change your love for God because you know he's good all the time. Amen. And that's what you see here. In this story, Moses has changed. Moses heard the voice of God. He thought it was really cool that there was a bush that was burning, but that wasn't consumed. He was like, nice trick, God. I like that. I see what you're doing. He's gone from that Moses saying, not me, not me, not me, to okay, cool. I've told him 9 times. If you want me to tell him a 10th time, that's fine. If there's 22 more times that you want me to do the exact same thing, I'm yours. I'll do it. And if you say you're going to bring favor, I know you're going to bring favor. So I'm not afraid to tell people to ask their neighbors for silver and gold, because I know you said to do it. And if you said to do it, it's going to happen. And I know that you're the one who elevates me. You're the one who does it. I'm just going to walk with you and let you elevate my stature. I read in Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. I used to read it every day years ago. But there's one date in there where he talks about how the devil and God want to take you to the high places. They're both trying to elevate you. But the way that the devil does it, he tries to get you to hold on to something earthly that you could never, ever let go of. So as you get elevated, you got to hang on to that earthly God in order to keep your status. Whereas when God takes you to a high place, the only thing you're holding on to is God. And whether he gives or takes away, you still have the delight of him that he's elevated you the way he wants. I remember reading it at the time about 30 years ago and thinking money was my thing. Because I was going to go after this job and I was going to go after this thing. And I looked at the guys 30 years older. I'm like, yeah, but they're trapped now because they can't get out of that. In order to keep their status, they got to keep their job. I never want to be like that. And there's freedom in knowing that God can take you anywhere that you want, anywhere he wants, however he wants, wherever he wants. And you don't care because you know that God's in control of your life. There's a ton of freedom in that. And that's where Moses was. If God told Moses, you're going to be here another year, no problem. You're going to go now. I'm great with that too. And you're going to see it's going to be, we're going to go now. After all this time, you're going to see the urgency next week. Because about the middle of the night, it's time to go and get everybody packed. And they're going to go because they're ready to follow God. God will transform and train your ears as you tune into him. And he'll transform your eyes so you can see his goodness and favor. Let me give you a second one. God will also transform your heart with his passion and your voice with his boldness. As you continue to walk with God and you're obedient to God, he will transform your heart with his passion and your voice with his boldness. Now check out Moses. Where verse 4 fits is right after verse 29 of chapter 10. Moses said, you're right. You will never see my face again. And these were his next words. Moses said, thus said the Lord, about midnight, I'm going out in the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn of the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the millstones, all the firstborn of the cattle as well. Moreover, there shall be a great cry in all the land of Egypt, such as there has never been before and shall never be again. But against any of the sons of Israel, a dog will not even bark, whether against a man or beast, that you may understand how the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. He continues, all these your servants, he says to Pharaoh, will come down to me and bow themselves before me, saying, go out, you and all the people who follow you. And after that, I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in hot anger. Has he changed? Is he a different guy now? I mean, the first time we see him appear before Pharaoh, God's telling him, drop your staff. He's got Aaron dropping his staff. He's a little nervous to do everything. He's going through the motions. He's doing what it is. There's a difference in Moses now. There's a passion and a boldness in him talking to Pharaoh that there wasn't at the beginning when he first got there. I mean, when he first got there and he begins to speak to Pharaoh and Pharaoh made the labor harder for Israel. I mean, Moses was like, oh no, why did you bring me here? Why are you doing this? Not anymore. He knows who he is in the Lord and he knows what he's called to do and he's not going to stop for anything. His passion's different. He's aligned in his heart. Now, it's interesting. We prayed this here in Inglewood today from Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. It's also found in Matthew chapter 22, 37 to 40. Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And what does he answer? You shall do what? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. Now, how many have heard that verse before? By show of hands. Do you? I mean, it means I'm going all in with Jesus with every fiber of my being. With my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength. Everything about who I am screams Jesus. Everything about who I am is going after God. Like, that's what I'm concerned about. Is that true of you? Jesus said, that's how you know you love God. That's the first and most important commandment. I was finishing up Eric Metaxas' book in light of his coming here in a couple weeks. And he was talking about, you know, when we go hunting, we think hunting is, you know, standing at a distance with a rifle and putting something in our scope and then barely, you know, using our trigger finger to kill. We call that hunting. That's not what a lion calls hunting. A lion to go hunting goes all in on the hunt. When Jesus is calling us, he's calling us to go all in. Now, let me tell you what I mean by this. When I grew up, I knew what it meant to go all in sports. I skipped family vacations. I never missed a practice. Coaches could curse me out. I didn't care. I'm all in. I'm the guy, right? My parents always wanted to see me go all in school. That didn't quite happen, but I knew what all in with sports was. I knew what it meant to go all in with my job when I had my job. I'm kind of an all or nothing person. That's how God made me. But when it came to the things of Jesus, even after I got saved, I never really saw somebody go all in. I never saw people being called to a high level. I mean, if my coach told me to be in practice at 6:30 in the morning, guess when I was going to be there? 6, waiting for them to get there. But when it came to ministry, it was always like, you know, just don't worry about it. Just, we're glad you're here. All this kind of stuff. Jesus says, go all in with me. One of the reasons that we don't grow is we don't go all in with Jesus. We keep Jesus on the periphery. We falsely think that there's a sideline in the kingdom. There's no sideline. Everybody's in the game. It's the most glorious intramural game you could ever be a part of. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And when you go in, you're on the field. And God says, now that you're in, go all in. You say, well, how do I know if I'm all in? When you're willing to pray like this, Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God. Know my anxious heart. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, my life is yours. You've saved my life. It doesn't matter where you move me, what job you have me do, who you want me to marry, where you want me to live. My life is yours. However you want to lead me, use me, I just want to be obedient to you. Lord, is there anything that you've designed for my life that I'm not living right now? And if there is, would you please show me, because I will change it for you. If you can pray that, you're all in. And for many of us, we're a lot like the rich young ruler that's willing to go through the religious things. I've kept all the commandments since I was a kid. I'm a pretty good person. I tithe. I do this stuff. And Jesus is like, I don't care about your religion. I don't care about your lip service. I care about your heart. You're telling me all these things that you say you believe, but you don't do any of them. I mean, if I ask you what you believe, what do you believe? What would you do? What would you say? Would you take me to our church's doctrinal statement and say, I believe that? Would you take me to the Apostle or Nicene Creed and say, I believe that? Would you take me to the Bible and say, I believe that? You know what Jesus would say? Even the devil believes that and is scared. Don't show me what you say you believe as a fig leaf to cover up your disobedience. Show me what you believe by how you're actually living. I know that I'm the God of your money when I own your money. I know that I'm the God of your marriage when I'm the God of your marriage. I know that I'm the God of your kids when you let me lead your kids. I know that I'm the God of your job when you'll go anywhere that I want you to go. I mean, does God really have all your heart? One of the reasons we don't grow in our passion for the Lord is we don't go all in with the Lord. And we wonder, it's not really working for me. This religion thing's not really working for me. Let me save you some time. This religion thing will never work for you. I don't care what religion you are. If it's even coming to Brave and like, I like the way they do music and I like the way they teach from the Bible. Great. How is it transforming your life? How is it making you closer to Christ? How are you going more all in with Jesus? What's that look like? I mean, that's what's going on here. Moses is a different guy because he spent time with the Lord. I mean, we see the great church of Ephesus that Paul writes to. By the time we get to the book of Revelation in about 96 AD, that they had grown weary of their first love. They had lost their first love. Jesus told that church, I'm about ready to come and remove the lampstand from your church because you don't even love me anymore. You once upon a time loved me, but now return to your first love. Or how about the church in Laodicea? He says, you're neither hot or cold. You're good for nothing. I'm about ready to vomit every time I hear your worship services because you're not all in with me. You say, well, what's Jesus asking? He's asking for everything. Why? Because he gave you everything. He created your life. He spoke life into you. He created who you are, and he loved you enough to come and die on a cross for you and rise from the dead for you. He's given you everything you need for life and godliness. What could you possibly hold back from him?
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, The Making of a Man, exploring the story of Moses in Exodus to see how obedience to God leads to complete transformation and his favor. If you've been blessed by today's teaching, we invite you to give a gift to help keep this program going strong. To give, visit bravepastorjeff.com. That's bravepastorjeff.com. But before we wrap up, we also would like to invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church. Visit in person at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.